live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the government has asked health officials to consider speeding up the exit plan for the coronavirus lockdown. A plan to cut the COVID emergency payment for part-time workers has been criticised in the Dáil. The government will next week consider plans to bring back summer school provision for special needs students. It's emerged sewage systems may be able to predict where coronavirus outbreaks will occur. The Fianna Fáil leader says the next few days are the deadline for an agreement on government, and four Donegal projects receive funding from the Leader Programme. Later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Oisin. That's coming up at around 5:15. We'll also, because it's a Thursday, have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. All that to come, but we begin with the Taoiseach's speech in the Dáil earlier today, during which he confirmed the government has asked health officials to consider speeding up the exit plan for the coronavirus lockdown. The Taoiseach says ministers have asked to move some of the Phase 3 measures up to Phase 2, which is due to start on Monday. Cabinet will make a decision tomorrow on whether to go ahead with that after medical advice from the National Public Health Emergency Team. In the Dáil today, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar confirmed they're trying to move parts of the roadmap up.
We can bring things forward, as you suggest, from 5 to 4 or 4 to 3, as the case may be. So we have made proposals to the CMO and to NPHET about bringing things forward from phase 4 into 3 and 3 into 2. And NPHET is considering those proposals that government have made. And government will make a decision on that on Friday morning and inform the public of the decision on Friday afternoon.
Well, the Taoiseach also confirmed during his speech that changes will be made to the pandemic unemployment payment. He said that while those who were working full-time before the pandemic will continue to receive €350 a week, it will be cut for those who were only working part-time. The Taoiseach also confirmed that it will be extended for months rather than weeks. However, his announcement was questioned in the Dáil. The Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald criticised the decision to cut the amount being paid to part-time workers.
It's grossly unfair and unacceptable to introduce a blanket cut to the payment for all workers who work less than full-time hours. That's a very blunt instrument. I think it's poorly thought out and a bad approach from government.
Well, the government will next week consider plans to bring back summer school provision for special needs students. The Education Minister says it would be an important step given the long gap in schooling for children with learning difficulties. Joe McHugh said he'll be bringing specific plans to government next week, and he's hoping for support.
For teachers and SNAs who can, I would like to urge them to think seriously about supporting a summer programme which will make a meaningful difference to their most vulnerable students. The length of school closure has been a long one, a lot longer than what we might have hoped for. Providing an opportunity for children to participate in a summer provision would provide a really important opportunity to reconnect with schooling and offer an important structure which may help towards a fuller return to school in the autumn.
It's emerged that sewage systems may be able to help predict where outbreaks of coronavirus will occur. A new US-based study has found the virus can be present in wastewater before a community starts to experience symptoms. Sewage testing has been used in the past to detect polio and the winter vomiting bug. Trinity Immunology Professor Luke O'Neill has been examining the research. He says it could be useful.
In Connecticut, this was done in great detail. They begin to see the virus and there's nobody with symptoms in that community. And then a few days later, the people develop symptoms, and that correlates now with the sewage. So it's as if the virus is coming out early before the symptoms begin. And the reason why it's useful is you can now deploy people into the area to do all the testing and tracing.
The next few days are the real deadline for government formation talks, according to Micheál Martin. Pressure is mounting on Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Green Party to agree a programme for government. Key justice laws have to be renewed by the end of June, and Micheál Martin, the Fianna Fáil leader, says in order for a new government to be in place to do that, a deal must be struck in the next few days.
Well, that means the next few days is the real deadline, because we have to allow time to go to the parties for ballots. Like, our national executive is meeting tomorrow to facilitate a rule change to allow for a postal ballot. So that will take time. The Green Party and Fine Gael equally have to consult their members and have votes. So I think the next couple of days are absolutely crucial, because that deadline is a real deadline.
Four Donegal community projects have today been granted leader funding totalling €356,000. The projects being funded are the Letcher Corn Mill in Kilcar, a new multi-purpose hall in Rye Manor, Cunningham, Donegal Hydro Harvesting in Mallon, and a feasibility study into a swimming pool facility in Carndonagh. With more detail, here's Catherine Gaffney.
More than €183,000 is being allocated for parking facilities at the Letcher Corn Mill in Kilcar, as well as some works carried out on the Heritage Building. Funding has been sanctioned towards a new multi-purpose community hall at Ryan Manor Cunningham, as the old hall is no longer fit for purpose. The committee there has secured a site for the proposed hall, plans have been drawn up and planning permission has been approved. Also announced today is a grant of €18,500 for the Donegal Hydro Harvesting in Mallon. And €4,130 has been allocated to the Tara McConnellogue Splash Swim School to pay for a feasibility study with a view to creating a swimming pool facility in Carndonagh.
Three men from Tyrone, Derry and Armagh have been arrested following what's been described as the biggest ever drug seizure in Northern Ireland. The PSNI and National Crime Agency recovered 600 kilos of cannabis from a lorry in Templepatrick, County Antrim, early yesterday morning. The haul has an estimated street value of between £10 and £12 million. The men detained are in their 30s and 60s. Two premises, one in County Tyrone, the other in County Derry, were also searched. McDonald's drive-through on Pierce Road in Letterkenny officially reopened today, with large queues reported as people returned to the fast food restaurant. The restaurant will open with reduced hours between 11 a.m. and 10 p.m. Gardaí are urging anyone who's availing of the drive-through to use the entrance off the Paddy Hart Road. In total, 23 McDonald's restaurants have reopened for drive-through across the country today. Gemma O'Doherty and John Waters were today ordered to pay the cost of 2 days of litigation in the High Court. It's after they launched a legal challenge to the restrictions brought in to combat the spread of COVID-19. Mr Justice Meenan ruled the litigants' failure to consider legal arguments put forward in court meant the proceedings were very far from being in the public interest. He ordered them to pay the costs incurred by the Oireachtas and the Minister for Health. The administrative guidelines for the micro-redress scheme have been formally circulated to members of Donegal County Council. It's been described as a weighty document. The council intends to break it down to a user-friendly version in the coming days, and it's expected it'll open for online applications as quickly as possible. The Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Martin McDermott, says it will take some time for the council to simplify the document, and he says in the meantime, homeowners should now use that time to carry out preparatory work.
The council will put it and a bit more clear terms for the general public over the next couple of weeks, and then we'll get to be able to get the scheme open. But I don't think there's anything major in it that we didn't already know, and I think it should be a great step forward here for Donegal and for Inishowen, because you know the people have been waiting for quite some time on this to happen and these guidelines to be set out there and for the scheme to be open. So I think it's a formality now that the scheme will be open in a number of weeks.
It's emerged the state is paying €8,000 per return trip to keep Donegal Airport open. The government has paid a subsidy of more than €8,000 for each passenger return journey in a bid to keep air routes operational between Donegal and Kerry airports and Dublin during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the Irish Independent, the state subsidy in place throughout April for the Donegal, Dublin and Kerry Dublin routes is now 4,000% greater per passenger return journey compared to the actual airfare involved. However, Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle has defended the move.
If you take the amount that's paid in subsidy to the airlines flying into Donegal Airport and divide it up by 12 months and divide it up by a number of passengers, you get a very high figure for the moment. Mm-hmm. And you know, March, April and that of this year. But the reality is that the subsidy is paid to the airlines on an annual basis, and you know, and if that airline puts on extra flights in September when things get back to get normal again and putting on extra flights for extra demand, they won't get any more. I think it has to be looked at in the overall, as you said, and the overall scheme of things, rather than just looking at one service in isolation.
A Donegal deputy has questioned the Tánaiste over the plight of small fishermen in the inshore fisheries sector. There had been ongoing fears for the livelihood of inshore fishermen pre-COVID-19. However, the current crisis is said to have escalated those concerns. With herring quotas and scientific quotas reduced and boats tied up, small fishermen are said to be on their knees. The issue was raised in the Dáil by Deputy Piers Doherty. While responding to him, the Tánaiste and Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney gave assurances that there is a clear mandate in place for the sector as it relates to Brexit negotiations. However, he conceded a support package may have to be considered in the meantime.
The UK position on fishing is very different to what the EU are looking for on fishing. But that is why we need fishing negotiated in the context of a trade deal and all of the other issues that are part of that negotiation, as opposed to hiving off different negotiations independent of each other. That was never intended to be the approach, and it's not going to. And in doing so, we are looking to protect the interests of the Irish fleet in terms of both access and quota share that they currently enjoy in British waters. And I expect that the fisheries element of this negotiation is going to get very difficult, and we need to keep our fishing fleet informed and, if necessary, supported with assistance packages as we await what we hope will be a fair outcome for all sides.
Detectives in Derry are appealing for information about a serious assault in the Shantallow area in the early hours of Monday morning. A man in his 20s was punched and kicked by a number of males. He remains in hospital having undergone surgery for a broken jaw. It happened between the Carinbane Walk and Curragh Walk areas at some point between midnight and 2 o'clock on Monday morning. Urging anyone with information to make contact, police describe this as a shocking and brutal attack on a defenceless man. An investigation is continuing after substantial damage was caused to outdoor furniture at a popular green area in Buncrana. Two picnic tables and 16 seats were vandalised in the sustained attack, which is believed to have happened on Tuesday night or the early hours of yesterday morning. Anyone with information is being asked to contact Gardaí in Buncrana. Local resident David has been instrumental in getting the amenity looking its best. He says he's devastated but heartened by the kindness of some local children who fundraised to replace some of the furniture.
There's a community across the way from us, and we allow their children to come in and use the park, and the people in that other community as well are quite welcome to come in and use it. As I say, I was cleaning the thing up, and the children, they came down, the four young kids that come into the park, and they come down and seen that I was really upset. They never said nothing, and I never said nothing, and I looked at them, and they looked at me, and I read everything up, and they said, oh, we're so sad because of us here. And we went for a walk and cleared my head and landed back up at the street again, and the first thing was here, there was a couple of neighbours and the four children, and I said to the wife, what's happening here? And she said to me, I don't know. And I got out of the car, and the children, they came over to me, and they handed me an envelope. And I says, what's this? And they said, well, we seen you were so sad. And they went to their parents, and they asked their parents, could they do something about it? Mm. And they said yes. And then the children went around their own estate and around our estate and collected money. Mm-hmm. They collected €166.45, and they gave it to me to replace one of the tables.
And that was David from Buncrana speaking to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show. It's 5:15, time for sports news. We say good evening to Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with soccer news, and Republic of Ireland international Shane Long has agreed a 2-year contract extension with Southampton. The 33-year-old was coming to the end of his current deal this summer, but is now set to remain with the Saints until the end of the 21-22 season. Long joined the Premier League outfit in 2014 and has made 24 appearances for the side, scoring 3 goals this season. Well, Premier League clubs will be able to make 5 substitutes when matches return later this month. The temporary rule change was voted for by shareholders at a meeting today. It's hoped it will reduce the amount of injuries picked up by players during a packed calendar. However, teams will only have 3 windows in which to make their 5 substitutions. Scottish Premiership sides will be able to return to training next Thursday. Yesterday, the SPFL announced the new season will start in August. Clubs outside the top flight will also be allowed to return to sessions, but only if they are able to meet strict testing and safety guidelines. The GAA is preparing to publish its roadmap for a return to play. From next week, walking tracks around grounds will be open, but playing on pitches is some time away. Chairman of Neave Connell is David Kilch. He believes the association could make the call to be back before the current July 20th date.
I can see them opening sooner rather than later because of the numbers going down, and it's great to see the numbers going down, as in the cases and unfortunately deaths as well. But we have to follow the roadmap and to the best of our ability, and the GAA will actually come out with something in the next while, and hopefully it will bring everything forward to an earlier date than the 20th of July, because that it's just too long away. Mm-hmm. And we need to get the kids back on the field, even if it is supervised training sessions in small groups. So be it. We can do it. We can implement something. We can try and get volunteers to help out to make sure this can be done.
That's David Keats, chairman of Neave Connell GAA Club. And there'll be more from David tonight on the Score programme, which returns after a 12-week break. We'll hear how Neave Connell are dealing with the pandemic situation. And we'll also get his thoughts on the question over should clubs still have to pay the full levy to the County Board for 2020. My other guests on the programme tonight will be Donegal boxer Brett McGinty, who talks about his first year as a professional under the pandemic, while golf has had a couple of weeks settling in since the sport returned under Phase 1. We'll take a look at what's next for golfers in Phase 2 with Eamon Davis. The Score programme tonight, just after the 7 o'clock news. The Tokyo governor says it may be necessary to stage a simplified Olympics next year. It's been reported that some of the options are mandatory coronavirus testing for athletes and spectators. There would also be fewer spectators and a limit on movement in and out of the athletes' village. Meanwhile, Donegal's high-performance athletes will take a step closer to sporting normality from next week. Ireland's Olympians, like Milford Walker Brendan Boyce, will be exempt from travel restrictions during the pandemic from next Monday, so they can resume training at high-performance facilities. 800-metre runner Mark English and badminton duo Chloe and Sam McGee, who were seeking Olympic qualification before sport was halted, will also be able to move more freely. Up to now, they were confined to training within the 5K zone set up in the previous phasing on government return protocols. Belfast Marathon organisers have announced the cancellation of the 2020 event because of the ongoing pandemic. The marathon had originally been scheduled to take place on the 3rd of May and was then rescheduled for the 20th of September, but organisers have now made the decision to cancel the event for this year. Finally, in motorsport, Mercedes Formula One boss Toto Wolff admits they haven't started contract discussions yet with Lewis Hamilton. The world champion's current deal ends this year, but Wolff is hopeful that they'll get a new deal arranged soon. I'll be back with more on the Score just after the 7 o'clock news with our next bulletin scheduled for tomorrow morning. Donal.
Thank you, Washing. Time now for farming news and views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. A new rural environment protection scheme could form part of the next programme for government. According to the Irish Farmers Journal, Fine Gael negotiators have proposed that carbon tax revenue be dedicated to a new agri-environmental programme. The previous REP scheme was hugely popular with farmers in a way that its successors EOS and DLOS have not been. It was a scheme that rewarded farmers for carrying out their farming activities in an environmentally friendly manner. Well, this could be very good news for Donegal farmers. Pat O'Toole, news correspondent of the Irish Farmers Journal, has been telling me more.
This comes from two things, I suppose. First of all the things that is being asked of farmers in relation to how we work with the environment, our environment around us. That impacts on carbon output and on climate change. It impacts on soil quality, water quality, air quality, biodiversity. So that's a lot of things that are going on and farmers are being asked to do more. The problem is that, as we all know, farmers' incomes are limited. And the Brussels proposal is to take money away from direct payments, which are income supports, and put them into the environmental enhancements. Fine Gael are pushing very strongly for, and Fianna Fáil are pushing very strongly for too, is that the carbon tax harvest, which is going to be considerable. As things stand, the carbon tax is not bringing about, it's bringing about 80 million, I think, last year, but it will be bringing in 600 million a year by 2030. And what they want to do is to ring fence a substantial proportion of that money and put it into new reps. It pays well because reps, farmers are getting up to 10,000 and in reps 4 up to 12,000 a farm, whereas with EOS and GLOS it's much less. So reps is hugely popular with farmers. The money is there potentially in the carbon tax, and the plan is to divert that to farmers.
And counties like Donegal have an awful lot to benefit from this.
Absolutely. I suppose every county, but especially when you look at a county like Donegal, with the huge variation in farm type, there are some farms which GLOS is very helpful to, but extensive hill farms, the max payment is limited. 7,000 for the most disadvantaged farms is the absolute maximum, and 5,000 in general. That's not a whole lot in the intensive farms, whether it's the intensive dry stock or dairy farms or the tillage farms. They weren't really engaged in GLOS or EOS, whereas REPS was attractive to all farms. There was over 65,000 farms in REPS 4. And that was the smallest farms, it was the biggest farms, it was the most extensive and the most intensive farms. All were attracted to REPS. So that would be the hope. And of course, for an environmental scheme to have an impact on the environment, it needs to be all farms. So it's appropriate.
In terms of the finer details, when can we expect to see them on the table as such?
We don't know, because the talks, naturally, the various participants are pretty tight-lipped. We're watching and listening and talking and gossiping, but it's all at a remove. The talks are going quite slowly, and I expect them to continue to go a little slowly. If the talks conclude quickly, that's probably not good. It means that the chances of them reaching a successful conclusion are limited, because not only do the parties have to agree, but the party memberships of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, a simple majority, but in case of the Green Party, a two-thirds majority of polled members is required to permit the party to go into government. So there has to be buy-in from all sides. There's no reason why the Greens wouldn't buy into this, but what they're being pushing up till now is that the carbon tax would be a collect and repay, a kind of a dividend, be paid out to taxpayers at the end of the year from the carbon tax. Whereas Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael's strategy since last year, both of them have been agreed that the carbon tax should be used for specific programs which will reduce our carbon footprint and enhance biodiversity. So REPS is a fit, but I wouldn't be holding my breath for detailed information. We're going to have to wait for a government to be formed. If it's confirmed as part of the programme for government, then the legislation has to be written, Brussels has to be consulted, it has to work with Brussels. And the other thing about a scheme like this, you cannot get a top-up payment for a compulsory measure. So it has to be paid exclusively on measures that are over and above anything which is compulsory under the CAP, under the Good Agricultural and Environmental Compliance. So it means that we have to have a deep think about how we do this, and we have to tread carefully around Brussels.
Do you think expectations are that it will be better than the original REPS?
I think it'll be different. The original REPS was brought in the early 90s in a completely different environment. I actually remember in 1994 attending a conference on climate change, on the environment, hosted by MOCRA. I was a younger farmer at the time. I was involved in organising the conference and I spoke at it. And REPS was being mooted. and it was the early days of us adjusting to the realities of the impact farming was having on our environment. And the one thing we have to remember, Chris, especially people my age, I'm 54 and I've been farming since the early 80s, there is the trap we can get suckered into where we think things have always been the way we grew up doing them, the way we learned how to farm with our families, with our parents in the 70s. But actually, farming up until the 1960s was much more similar to farming in the 1600s than it is to farming today. We've had a huge transformation over the last 40, 50 years where we've harnessed chemical fertilizer, we've harnessed pesticides, we've had huge advancements in the genetics of both crops and animals. And that's all good in terms of output, and it's good for the consumer. Food has never been safer, it's never been cheaper, it's never been more plentiful. But we probably have had a negative impact at times on the environment, and we've had to rein it back in. We have moved back from the excesses of, I would say, the 80s, which probably saw where there was a huge acceleration of intensity without due regard to the environment. We've improved massively since then, but there is work to be done. And farming needs to be conscious that it's all about constant evolution. And we don't, I suppose my message is we shouldn't get fixated on the things we're doing at the moment. We've got to look at how we can do everything better.
And that was Pat O'Toole, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, all the indications are that Marts will get clearance to reopen next week. Of course, there will be social distancing measures in place and buyers and sellers will have to register and sign in at the entrance to Marts. Donegal farmers were among the winners when it came to cap payments for 2018. According to an analysis of figures by the Farmers Journal, payments to Donegal farmers were up 2.5 million euro to 57.5 million euro. Farmers in 11 counties, including all five counties in Connacht, as well as Donegal, Longford, Clare and Kerry, increased their share of cap payments that year. Nationally, just under 1.2 billion euro was paid out to more than 120,000 farmers. Teagasc is hosting a series of virtual college open days for prospective applicants to its full-time Level 5 agriculture, horticulture, equine and forestry courses. These virtual open days are up and running and take place on Wednesdays. Each virtual college open day in the series will focus on the individual college in the overall Teagasc network. Staff from the relevant college will provide live presentations on their college and courses, interspersed with video footage of college educational facilities and farm enterprises. Each college will also host a virtual question and answer session and advise on how to complete the online application process. Most of the events are scheduled for 7 o'clock in the evening, and if you look at the Teagasc website, you'll find out more on that. The potato market situation remains largely unchanged. Any remaining good quality packing stock continues to command a premium. Irrigation is a key concern, though, for many growers at present. The May IFA stock survey figures indicate that there is less than 30,000 tonnes of potatoes left in store, which is on a par with last season, but considerably lower than previous years. And finally, last Monday was World Milk Day, and according to the IFA National Liquid Milk Chairman John Finn, retail grocery sales increased by over 17%. Between late February and late April of this year, and this trend also benefited sales of liquid milk, including buttermilk and cream, as baking and cooking at home increased during the lockdown. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening from me, Chris Ashmore. A very good evening.
Thanks very much indeed, Chris. Looking at the weather forecast now, it'll be cool and mostly cloudy this evening with some patchy light rain or drizzle. Northwesterly winds mostly moderate, fresh and gusty near coasts. Tonight, there'll be a mix of clear spells and scattered showers. Lowest temperatures 5 to 8 degrees Celsius with a light to moderate northwesterly breeze. Tomorrow, Friday, cool and blustery with sunshine and scattered showers. Some showers heavy and thundery. Highest temperatures 11 to 13 degrees Celsius with fresh to strong and gusty northwesterly winds. Me. main stories in brief this evening. The government has asked health officials to consider speeding up the exit plan from the coronavirus lockdown. The Taoiseach says ministers have asked NPHET to move some of the phase 3 measures to phase 2, which is due to start on Monday. Decisions are to be made and announcements confirmed tomorrow. The plan to cut the COVID emergency payment for part-time workers has been criticised in the Dáil by Sinn Féin. However, the Taoiseach has stressed that those who were full-time before the pandemic hit will continue to receive €350 a week. He also confirmed that the payment will be extended for months rather than weeks. Four Donegal community projects have been granted leader funding totalling over €350,000, and three men from Torontarry and Armagh are arrested after a major drug seizure in the north. Next news at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 4th of June. The death has taken place at her residence of Kathleen Dunleavy, Mincha, Glenvara. As per HSC and the government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Maureen McLaughlin, née Quinn, 47 Seagully Road, Drumquin. Requiem Mass will take place at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning in St Patrick's Church, Langfield, Drumquin, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Under current restrictions, the wake and funeral are for family only, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Marie Curie, care of Sean O'Kane and Sons, funeral directors. And the death has taken place of Stanley Frederick Lockhart, Knocklade View, 10 Altmore Park, Coleraine, formerly of Port Lock, Newton Cunningham, and Princes Street, Londonderry. In compliance with government guidelines, funeral and burial are private to immediate family only, please. A memorial service will be held at a later date.